Now argue that point. The Bible says this is the day the Lord had made. When there's 2 feet of snow this winter and there's blizzards are coming, just remember it's the day the Lord had made. Now argue that point. Amen. I had to get that in there. Amen. If you have your Bibles this evening, turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 8, beginning in just verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Very familiar passage of scripture right here. God is a God of turnaround. Amen. I said God is a God of turnaround. One minute you can be in a situation and the next minute you can be delivered. One minute you can be sick and the next minute you can be healed. One minute you can be in a crisis and the next minute you can be shouting for joy. Why? Because God is a God of turnaround. I remember many times down in Robbinsville, North Carolina, and I thank the Lord I don't have to go through it right here. One of the battles I fought was the financial battles down there. I've seen many times where God would move through it, where it looked bad at times down there, pastoring in a small community church. Many times it was in the negatives and that wasn't coming in, but one time God, but me, all the times it come like that, it wasn't long God would turn it around. God would send somebody in there to drop something big off. God would send somebody in there to do the miraculous. Well, that's what I'm talking about. God's a God of turnaround, because your situation may look like this, but on the other side, there's a turnaround. That's what people miss, the turnaround. We're just looking at it from one side. God says you need to see it from the other side. Romans 8 and 28. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Let me read that again. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I'm going to speak to you tonight on the thought of God's going to turn it around. Heavenly Father, we come before you, dear Lord, tonight, God, and we lift you up, dear God, this evening, Lord. Lord, we honor you, Lord, and we praise you, dear God, and we exalt you, dear God, tonight. Lord, and we ask God for your anointing, dear God, in here tonight, dear Lord. We ask, Lord, for you to anoint my lips to speak your word, dear God. Lord, I pray, God, there's some that's going through battles and storms, but you're the God of turnaround tonight. Lord, tonight I pray, God, their faith be lifted. I pray, God, that you encourage them tonight, Lord. Let them know there's another side of the story more than what they are seeing. Lord, we give you glory, God, and we give you honor and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Somebody in here tonight say God's going to turn it around. How many believe God's going to turn it around? What do you mean, preacher, by that statement, God's going to turn it around? I want you to think about setbacks you've been through, disappointments, discouragements, and times when you didn't get great news from the doctor, and it seems like things are just weighing you down and bringing you down one thing right after another. And sometimes in the human nature, we begin to wonder, is it going to get in any better? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Is it going to get any better? Hey, anybody ever uttered that statement thinking, is it going to get any better? Well, according to the Bible, he's going to turn it around. Did you hear me? See, tonight I'm telling you there's some under my voice, some that will hear this online somewhere along the way, that need to quit writing their obituary. Some need to quit waving the white flag saying, I'm giving up, and start saying tonight, instead of saying I'm quitting, I'm giving up, I'm throwing in the towel, they need to start saying God's going to turn this thing around. Did you hear me? God's going to give an about face to this situation. I want you to know tonight some of the things that some have been thrown at, some of the things that's come your way has nothing been more than an attack of the devil, has nothing more than an attack of the enemy that comes your way. But I want the devil to know. I know the devil has fought this church. I know the devil has fought some of you. But I want the devil to know tonight loudly that God's going to turn it around tonight. I want all of hell's powers. I want all of Satan and Lucifer's henchmen, if you will, to hear this. And their old Keith Swire serpent himself, that old stinking slimy serpent himself, to hear this, that God's going to turn things around. Did you hear me? Some of you fought sickness, but you need to say God's going to turn it around. Discouragement, disappointment, God's going to turn it around. My Lord, I'm reminded of a story some years ago in an African mine. The most magnificent diamond in the world's history was found. It was presented to the King of England to blaze in his crown estate. The king sent it to Amsterdam to be cut. It was in the hands of an expert leopard. He took the gem, he cut a notch in it, and with a hard blow, he split the superb jewel into two. Most, what recklessness, but nay, it was the climax of the leopard's skills. So what are you saying? I'm saying sometimes God will allow stinging blows to fall on a Christian's life. Did you hear me? Some may think, why? But I want you to know God knows exactly what He is doing. He is the most skilled leopard in the universe. God knows how to deal with the Christian that someday that we will blaze in his diadem. Simply meaning we'll be a jeweled crown, if you will. A jewel in his crown, if you will. What are you saying? I'm saying sometimes God allows these things to come in our lives that when it's all said and done, that we're going to be vessels of honor. That we're going to be the vessel of honor that God has intended. That when we come through the trial of our faith, that we'll come through shining more brightly than we've ever shined before. But tonight, I know that some are going through some things. I know there's some battles that are raging. But I want you to know tonight that God is the God of turnaround. I want you to know tonight, despite discouragement, despite disappointment, despite setbacks, despite what the doctors may say, God is the God of turnaround. You see, as human beings, we only see from one side of the story. How many know that? But how many also know, as we see from one side, there's a whole different side of the picture, if you will. We're only able to look at one side of it, but God sees the other side tonight. We tend to focus on the things that we see and not focus on the things that we don't see. How many know the Apostle Paul told us tonight that we are to look at the things which are seen, because the things which are seen are temporal. But he said, look at the things which are unseen, because the unseen is eternal. You see, sometimes we don't see what God's doing. Sometimes we don't understand what God's doing. I'll be honest, these times, most of the time, I don't understand what God's doing till it's done and it's complete. But I've learned something along the way, that there is always another side of the picture. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Sometimes we think things are so bad, but yet when it is all said and done, there's a great victory standing right there for us. There's a blessing on the other side of the picture. Think about Job, who lost everything. Think about Job, whose three friends accused him and everything that he went through. How many know that Job didn't see the end? But God had already seen the end from the beginning. God was already going to bless Job twice as much as he had before. But Job did not see that. And how many know tonight, too often, we only want to see the one side of the picture and not the other side of the picture. My Lord, tonight, sometimes God will use these things that come in our life to bring forth his plan. plan. How many know that God's got a plan for your life tonight? How many know God's got a reason for you tonight? How many know God's got a purpose for you tonight? How many know God's got something in store for you tonight? But let me tell you, before you can get to where God wants you to go to, sometimes you're going to have to go through some turbulent times. Sometimes you're going to have to go through some disappointments. Sometimes you're going to have to go through some discouragement. Sometimes you're going to have to go through the battle. But I got news for you. Despite those things, God is still the God of turnaround. And let me tell you, when I begin to read the Bible, I begin to see how God can use these things for His glory. I can see how God can use these things for His blessing, for your blessings, if you will. I can see how God can use these things to accomplish His purpose. Let's see tonight how God can take something bad and turn it into good. Again, somebody say, God is going to give me a turnaround in here tonight. I've been through hell. I've been through battles. I've been through storms. I'm fighting a battle right now, but God's going to give me a turnaround. So when I begin to look at turnaround in the Bible, I go back to the book of Genesis and I begin to see a young man by the name of Joseph, who was a dreamer, by the way. God give him many dreams. So what happened to Joseph? What happened? First of all, he was hated by his brothers. In Genesis 37 and 4, and when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully of him. As you go on, the more that he dreamed, the more they begin to hate him. Think about it. It's one thing to be rejected by somebody you don't know, but it's another thing entirely to be rejected by your family, those that are blood to you, those that may be your brother, your sister. It's a totally different thing right there. And no doubt the idea, the way they treated Joseph, the way they acted towards Joseph, it didn't feel good to him. No doubt he felt the pain. No doubt he felt the hatred. Oh, my Lord, the Bible says they treated him roughly, if you will. So we begin to see that Joseph experienced hatred along the way. But let me remind you, God was going to use him to save them down the road. Did you hear me? They also conspired against Joseph. How many know they made a conspiracy against Joseph? In Genesis 37, 18 through 21, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto him, they conspired against him to kill him. That they said one to another, behold, the dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us kill him and cast him into some pit, and we will say of some evil beast had devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands, and let us not kill him. If they wanted to get rid of somebody, it was Joseph. His brothers wanted to get rid of him. They had a plan. They were going to get rid of the dreamer. But I got news for you. God's hand was upon them, despite the conspiracy of his brothers. The hand of God was upon Joseph. Can I tell you tonight, despite the conspiracy, the schemes, and the wiles of the devil, the hand of God is upon his body tonight. Did you hear me? I said the hand of God was upon his church. The world may be trying to get rid of the body of Christ. Satan may be trying to attack you. He may be conspiring against you. But I got news for you tonight. The hand of God is for his and tonight. And when the hand of God is for you, what shall I fear, man, tonight? Listen tonight. I don't worry about what man's got to say about me. I don't look for opinions. I don't look for popularity. They can conspire against me, say what they want to, but it don't change the fact that when I got the hand of God upon me, me, I don't have to worry and I don't have to sweat. Because when the hand of God is upon me, I'm in the safest hands I can be in tonight. Can I tell you, they conspired to get rid of him, but God had his hands upon Joseph. In fact, God had Reuben there to spare him from being killed. So what did they begin to do? They stripped him of his coat. Let me tell you about the coat for just a minute. It was to be worn by the one who was to have the birthright, normally the firstborn. But as with Jacob and Esau, the firstborn was with Reuben, but would not have that position in leadership. In fact, it would go to Joseph, if you will. Let me tell you eventually what happened to Joseph. He eventually was sold into slavery. He was sold for 20 pieces of silver. We know Potiphar. He had a conniving wife. Potiphar had a conniving wife. My Lord, she thought Joseph was it. So she made the moves on Joseph. Amen? But despite all of that, Joseph had kept his integrity. How many know Joseph kept his integrity? So this didn't sit right with this wicked woman. Amen? This didn't sit right with this wicked woman. So she'll begin to accuse Joseph of rape. She began to accuse Joseph of forcing herself, himself on her, which was a lie from the pits of hell. Amen? Joseph fled from her. Amen? Joseph kept his integrity before God. I always tell people, better be careful who you stay in close contact with. Amen? I keep that with me personally at all times. Because there's a devil that's trying to steal the anointing. There's a devil that's trying to strip you of your coat. Let me tell you, but through all of that, through the being lied upon, and after Potiphar found what listened to his wife, you know what he did to Joseph? He throwed him into prison. But yet, despite all of that, despite all that Joseph had went through, the Bible still says, but God was with him. But God was with him. Despite everything that came, despite everything that he was going through. And by the way, let me tell you real quickly, Joseph didn't get from the pit to the palace overnight. It took a matter of years to get there. What I'm telling you tonight, you may not get to where God wants you to go, to somewhere on down the line tonight. But if you remain faithful to God, God's going to take you there. You see, when you begin to see Joseph's situation, it was not a pleasant situation that he experienced in his life. In fact, it seems like he growed up with hatred, conspiracy, to be lied upon, to be come against. It was not an easy life. How many know Jesus told us in this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. But despite everything that Joseph went through, can I tell you that God was going to turn it around? All of this that Joseph was going through was orchestrated by the hand of God to get Joseph to where he needed to be. There's somebody in here say, I'm going through what I'm going through where God can get me to where I need to be. Did you hear me? Because God's going to turn this thing around. I said there's another side of the picture. If some of you went through what Joseph went through, some would have declared it was over. Some would have waved a white towel. Some would give up. Some would grumble and complain. Some would be saying, God, I've done this and that, and why do I find myself in this situation? Oh, no, not Joseph. I guarantee you we've all said something like that. This right here. Why do I have to go through it? I did this, I done that. Well, it rains on the just and the unjust alike. But I remind you tonight that everything Joseph was doing, going through, was a setup. Somebody say setup. What was the setup? The setup was simply God was going to turn it around into Joseph's favor. God was orchestrating the plan of the enemy to take Joseph where he needed to be. And sometimes I'm convinced, and I believe the scripture points this out, that if we didn't go through some of these things, we'd never get to where God wants us to go. There's been things that I didn't experience along the way that I would have never reached where God had intended for me to go. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen? If there's some things in Western things that didn't go, if things that go some way right, I might not be here tonight if it, something didn't blow me this way. Amen? Amen? I may have never got here where God wanted me for this appointed time and season. Listen, what I'm telling you, get things that we come our way or many times a setup where God is going to turn it around into his favor and our favor, and it's going to work together to good. What was happening right here? The devil meant to destroy Joseph, but God meant to set him in the palace. And God's hand was upon Joseph, directing his step and going with him every step along the way. My Lord, what are you saying? I'm telling you sometimes what the devil means for bad, God means for good. Did you hear me tonight? I said what the devil means for bad, God means for good tonight. Tonight I want to remind you some of the things that you've been going through, some of the battles along the way are there to take you to where God wants you to go. Listen here, Houston Town Church of God. Some of the things we fought, some of the things that we go through around here is a church, is a place to where God is wanting us to go to. Did you hear me? There is a destination that God wants to take this church. Did you hear me? There is a river that's going to flow. The gates of heaven are going to be opened. Did you hear me? Let me tell you the things that we battled, the things that we went through. The river's going to flow. The gates of heaven are going to be open because we're going to where God wants you to go to. And long after I'm gone from here, and sometime whenever, and if the Lord tarries, this church will still have a destination. It will still go farther on down the line. Why? Because God has a plan for this church. Did you hear me? Somebody in here say, God's got a plan for this church. God's got a plan for this body in here. God's got a plan for me in here tonight. My Lord, sometimes let me tell you some of the things what have took me the way that I wanted to go. Let me tell you, I'd have never went that way. I was thinking, I thought many times before, if I'd have known, I'd have faced that along the way when I got to it, I thought I probably wouldn't have took that path. That's the reason sometimes God don't tell us what we're going through, because we'll try to avoid it, but God's going to take us through the giant in order to get us to the victory tonight. Let me tell you, Jesus had to go through the cross. He had to go through the grave in order to get to the resurrection. Destination. This was a setup, and God's hand was behind this. Yes, Joseph had to go through this to reach where God wanted him to go. Yes, he went through a lot. And yes, he experienced times that were uncomfortable. But yet, Joseph did not quit. Joseph remained faithful to God. And when we begin to see the story of Joseph, we begin to see how God had his hand on this. And we know it's only God that can do this. Amen? Oh, what we're seeing right here is a picture of Romans 8 and 28. What is Romans 8 and 28? Let's read that again. When we know all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purposes. Let me get something right here. First of all, they got to love God. Joseph loved God. He was called of God for the purpose of God. Get that. Love, called, and purpose. That's what Romans 8 and 28 is based on. Did you hear me? Romans 8 and 28 is based on love of God, called of God, and the purpose of God. That's what the three things right there you need to grasp. Because this was the divine will of God. Because God was setting this thing up for Joseph to go to the palace, to go to his destination. We're getting ready to see turnaround. My Lord, he went through a lot, didn't he? The young man Joseph is a story of inspiration. All this that he experienced is a good indication of what God can do in your life tonight. What we mean for bad, God's using to turn for the good. And I'm telling you tonight, we see turnaround. And I want you to know tonight that God is the God of turnaround. Somebody say, God is the God of turnaround. God is the God of turnaround. My Lord, I've seen people sick one moment and in a few moments be healed. We've seen it many times in here. Seen it many times in my ministry. One moment, they're sick, but all it took is one touch, and God moved on them. Lord, I know stories of people have stage 4 cancer. I read it last week at a church in Florida. Somebody had stage 4 cancer in pain, but was touched during the service, and the pain and the cancer was gone. I'm seeing people from going from being broke in one moment to being blessed in the next moment. I've experienced that many times over my ministry. I've experienced that many times, being without a lack to an abundance. Amen? That's the God that I serve tonight. That's what I'm talking about, turnaround. You see, what I'm talking about, turnaround, is the situation that you're in tonight. Well, you may be in that situation now, but in just a few moments, this whole thing could be turned around. I've told you many times about my tenure at Robbinsville, and it goes right back along with it. Then being in the red instead of the black, it's not a good thing. Nothing coming in. Septic tank wasn't working good. Needed fixed. The gravel wasn't there. Didn't want no cement coming up that mountain road. You had to get a running start to go up that driveway. It was rough. It was rough. It was rough. I'll tell you that. You had to get a running start to go down. But the church was in debt. But in a matter of one revival, God turned it around in a matter of hours. But it don't take God hours to turn it around. Before, right here while you're sitting tonight, God can turn your situation around. God can work it for his glory tonight. Those that are sick tonight, whether they're here or whether they're at home, in just a moment's time, God can heal them. In just a moment's time, they can be back up to normal. Amen. I told you before about somebody with a stroke in North Carolina. It showed up on the machine that they had a stroke. They went and prayed for him. When they went and they prayed for him, they done another exam, however they show it, and it showed the stroke was gone. Then it showed he didn't have a stroke. And the doctors couldn't figure it out, but I knew, the people of the church knew what it was. It was God. You see, in a moment's time, that's what I'm talking about, turnaround tonight. How many in here says, God's got a turnaround for me? This what I think so bad, God's turning it around. He's working it because I am love God. I am called according to his purpose tonight. I'm telling you, I'm not going to see this side. I'm going to see the other side of the picture. I'm not going to see death. I'm not going to see brokenness. I'm not going to see these things that would discourage me. I'm going to see victory tonight. I'm going to see healing tonight. I'm going to see the miraculous tonight, because that's the other side of the picture. We can't see it with our natural eyes. We got to look at it through faith. Amen. He is the God of turnarounds. Oh, my Lord, we begin to see Joseph's turnaround. How did it start? First of all, Joseph was a dreamer. I wish I had this gift Joseph did, but I don't have this gift about interpreting dreams. He could tell you what it was. Just like that. There's some people got that gift. I don't have that gift. But Joseph began to interpret dreams. He interpreted the baker's dream. And we know the baker forgot the first time. Then Pharaoh had a dream. This is where everything was beginning to get orchestrated. God, Joseph, to turn around. The shift, like I told you this morning, I told you. I felt a shift in the atmosphere. Here's the shift. If you will. That night, let me tell you, Pharaoh had a dream. He wanted an interpreter. Then the chief butler, it came to his remembrance. Genesis 41 and 9. He remembered Joseph then. Then Pharaoh called for him, and Joseph interpreted the dream. Listen, the dream for Pharaoh, and he got favor. Do you see the turnaround? My Lord, in prison 1 minute. Now he was getting favor. He was getting favor. Genesis 41, 39 through 41. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "For as much as God has showed you all this, there is no discreet and wise you are. Listen, you shall be over my house according to unto your word. Shall all my people be ruled only in the throne, will I be greater than you." Listen, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Let me tell you, Joseph's favor would reach to the point where God would put him in a place of authority. Joseph got the favor of Pharaoh. Here's the turnaround from prison to being number two in Egypt. The only one Joseph was behind was Pharaoh. What it told me was when Pharaoh said, "You'll rule over the people," he said, you carry a lot of weight. There ain't but one over you, and it is me. But that's where God wanted him. In other words, from prison, from pit, to being lied upon, to being hatred, to being put into prison, gone to the palace, you can say he took a step up. There's no doubt there was a turnaround. All because Joseph interpreted the dream of Pharaoh. Egypt would be, there would be great drought that would hit the lands around. But Egypt would be in seven years of plenteous. While those around would be in 7 years of drought. That's what the dream interpretation was that Joseph got. You see what I'm saying? What you're seeing right there in Genesis 39 is the other side of the story. What you're seeing is the side that didn't see at the beginning. But God saw it before it even started. God knew where Joseph was going before he was even birthed. God knew his destination before it even came to be. My Lord, let me tell you, from being hated, betrayed, sold, and lied upon, now he is sitting on the throne, and he is sitting there with rulership over Egypt. Turn around. That's what I'm talking about tonight. That's what I'm speaking on tonight. Turn around. Hey, maybe people in here God's going to raise up. How? He'll do it just like, if he has to do, he'll take you on a road. I remember when I was called to preach. I'm the last one. I was backwards. Oh, no. Oh, no, not me. Not me. I think you got me mistaken for somebody else. I run. I run from it. I'm not going to tell you some of the things I pulled, but some of the things I pulled running from the call of God, it took God getting me out of it. It took God getting me out of this. I said, God, if you get me out of this, I'll preach with no harm done. I'm not going to tell you. I pulled something big time. It wasn't good. God, if you get me out of this. I was running from it. I know he wanted me to preach, but I was running from it. I was running from it. I was running from it. And I finally got me, God, if you get me out of this. When I got into this, I said, what did I get myself into? This ain't my cup of tea. I said, God, you get me out of this. I'll preach. You know, God had to take me that direction to get me to where I'm at tonight. Amen. Listen. I'm preaching. Then I try to say, no, I don't want a pastor. Sometimes I still ask God, did you get the right pastor? Person to pastor. I said, it's easy to evangelize than pastor. In certain ways it is, in certain ways it ain't. I'm just playing, but I'm telling the truth how it's out. God had to get me here to get me where he wanted to go. Even from Robbinsville to Houstontown, I never heard of Houstontown, Pennsylvania. Never heard of Fulton County. Here's what I knew about Pennsylvania. Hershey chocolate. That's good. It snows up here. Amish and two football teams I could care less for. Because we know there ain't but one. That's how I knew. Robbinsville's a spot in the road just like Houstontown is. It is. How did God get me 500 some miles away? God, it had to be God orchestrating it. Amen? It had to be God directing the path because I wouldn't have got here on my own. Did you hear me? I wouldn't have got here on my own. I'd never heard of it before Dr. Bell called me and talked to me about it. I'd never heard of this place. I never heard of Chambersburg. I never heard of Somerset. I never heard of any of these places around here. I hadn't. You probably never heard of places in North Carolina. Robbinsville, Graham County, Murphy, Franklin. Most people's heard of Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, but that's beside the point. But what are you saying? I'm telling you, God had to put me through some things to get me to where I'm at tonight. He had to let me experience some things in Robbinsville in order to get me to where I'm at tonight. Amen? That's what I'm talking about, destination. When God's got a calling where he needs you to be. Tonight, I want you to know that God's got a turnaround. And he's using it to take you to where he wants you to go. I want you to know something. He's already provided everything. There's an already factor there. It's already there. If God calls you, he's got your path paved. I want you to know, too, tonight, God's got your turnaround already there. John 4 and 35, say not ye there in 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. What Jesus was saying there, don't say you got 4 more months to harvest. Look up because it's already there. That's an already. Did you hear me? That's an already moment. Now you see something in the book of Amos. That word already indicates an unusual season of reaping was upon them. A season of blessing. In Amos 9 and 13, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, And the treader of the grapes, him that soweth seed in the mountains, shall drop sweet wine, and the hills shall melt. The already factor is already there. I believe what Amos was trying to say is the toe of the reaper was on the heel of the plowman. Uh-oh, do you get that? That's an already there. Did you hear me? Your blessing's already there. Your miracle's already there. Your turnaround's already there. Did you hear me? Oh, what are you saying? You want some examples of the here? You want some examples of the already factor? Well, let me give you the already factor. How about Abraham finding a ram in the brush before he could sacrifice Isaac? That's an already factor. God already had a ram before he got there. Listen to this one, Caesar. Tax season's over for this year, but next year, I had to get this in here. She's the tax collector. Peter finding the coin in the mouth of the fish at tax time. So everybody, if you pay taxes to her, tell her it's in the mouth of a fish somewhere. But it was already there when Jesus said, go up there. The already factor was there. Do you get the already factor there? The point I'm trying to make with this already factor is that God already has your turnaround. God already has your turnaround tonight. Did you hear me? I said, God already has your turnaround. The angels are already there working on your behalf. Did you hear me? The provisions is already there. The victory was already there. How do you know that? Because he paid the price at Calvary. Amen? Sister Marcy, you can get ready to come. But I want you to know tonight God's got to turn around. You see, Joseph is a great example of God turning this thing around. You hear me? Joseph is a great example of God turning this thing around. But he's also a great example of showing mercy to his brothers. Listen what he does right here. Notice Genesis 41 and 54. And the 7 years of earth of dearth began, that's drought, began to come according to Joseph had said, and the dearth was all in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt was bread. All around them everything was drying up. But in Egypt there was plenty. There was plenty there. Joseph was there. Did you hear me? What would begin to happen right here? How many know it would get bad? And his brothers heard that there was bread in Egypt. What they went there begging, I'm not time to go into the whole story. But what I find interesting, those who persecuted him were now begging for mercy for him. Did you hear me? I find it interesting how it completely shifts around. How God took those that persecuted him and done him wrong. They are now seen and begging for mercy at the feet of Joseph. You know Joseph could have had him killed. Joseph had all right to sentence every one of them to death. He had that much authority. He knew who they was, but they didn't know him. I wonder what they would have thought if they knew they was going to him. They probably wouldn't even got there. They'd have been so full of fear to even go if they knew they was going to have to answer to Joseph. They thought Joseph was gone. They wouldn't have to do with him. They didn't recognize him, but Joseph recognized them. He knew who he was. I don't have time to preach the whole story. If you're interested, go home and read it in Genesis. It's a very compelling book. But I can tell you what Joseph said. You know, he could have been mean to them. He could have had them sentenced to death. He could have even refused to talk to them. Not Joseph. What did he say? He revealed himself to him. I can see the shock that goes on their eyes. You ever seen somebody shock their eyes go? Like this. I wonder what was going through their mind. They thought, oh Lord, the one we thought we was rid of, now we're answering to, he's going to kill us. That ain't what Joseph told them. Listen what Joseph told them. Genesis 45 and 5. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me. What he was saying, don't worry about it. What he was telling them there is, forget it. It's over. It's past. It's bygones. It's forgotten. It's water under yesterday. Don't grieve over it. Don't forget it. He was showing forgiveness, really. But what he did say on past verse 5 was this. Hither, God did send me before you to preserve life. In other words, what Joseph said was, God sent me here to spare your life. God sent me here to take care of you. This was his plan all along. God used your hatred. He used your conspiracy to save your life. That's an act of mercy. The cross was an act of mercy. You can stand in here tonight. But that's what it was. Joseph acknowledged that God was behind this. God's the one that brought him this way. God was all behind this. God used this to bring him into position. So what are we saying, preacher? What I'm telling you, what started out bad turned to good. Turn around. Not only did it spare his life, but it spared the nation of Israel. And how many know who come through Israel? The Lord. What we see is that bad working for good. We see that one who is called for the purpose of God in his life. It's the God of turnarounds. Some of you looking for it are fighting a battle. I've come to tell you there's a God of turnarounds. You're disappointed. You're discouraged. You're worried. All you're seeing is one side of the picture. But God says there's another side. There's another side of the story. How many would step out tonight and say, I'm fighting it. But God, I'm going to believe for a turnaround tonight. I got a turnaround coming. I got a turnaround. You fought it. I'm telling you, God's using it. God's using the discouragement. He's using the despair. He's using the problems to take you to where he wants you to take them. Tonight. My Lord, put it in the hands of God tonight and say, God's got to turn around. Sister Marcy, God's got to turn around. Bud, God's got to turn around. God's got to turn around. God's got to turn around. Ashley, God's got to turn around. Justin, God's got to turn around. Gene, God's got to turn around. Ray, God's got to turn around. I said, God's got to turn around. Where it's going to reverse what seems to be going against you is going to work in his favor. Troy, God's got to turn around. In the name of Jesus, I said, God's got to turn around tonight. It may not happen overnight. It may not happen overnight. But turn around. Turn around. God's got to turn around. That means that what seems going the wrong way is going to turn around for the good. It's going to turn and be used for the glory of God. Let your turnaround, let God give you the turnaround tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.